BBC News.
Hello, I'm Jo Fidgen, and you're tuned to Outlook. In the 1930s in Trinidad and Tobago, musicians started playing around with cut-down oil drums, and out of it came the steel pan drum, or pan, now such a big part of the culture that the steel pan band is a key part of the Trinidad Carnival, with a competition every year called Panorama for the best performance. Trinidadian Ray Holman's arrangements have won several times. Outlook's Nikki Paxman went to meet him at his home in the capital, Port of Spain.
This is rather magical. It's quite late at night, and I'm in Ray Holman's kitchen, and he's playing the pan for me. And Ray is somebody who has been involved with pan since its very early days, since the 1950s, and has been really influential in bringing it to a level of much greater sophistication over the years. Ray, can you remember your very first experience of pan?
My earliest memories of pan, I saw a steel man coming up on the pavement. In those days, the pans were around the necks. Wow, yeah, these fellas playing, you know. It probably was about 6 or 7. I think one of my parents said, get back inside.
Didn't want you to run outside.
Yeah, no, because, you know, don't go close to the pans, you know, these people come in. But it was intriguing to me.
Why did your parents say don't go close to the pans?
Because in those days, it was not something that you want to be associated with. People who played pan were like from the lower classes of society at the time. And there was all this publicity about gang wars and fights.
And what, involving the pan players?
Yeah, involving the pan players, yes, and supporters too.
You know what it feels like to me is almost like the way people support football teams now.
It was exactly like that. You must remember, in that time, we were a colony, so you didn't have as much opportunity for education or for employment. So you're not working during the day, so it's somewhere to go.
Why were there clashes?
Well, this to them was something that they took a great pride in, their band. We have a steel band, it's a new instrument that they created with their own hands. So my area, we are St. Vedas, you know, we're from Woodbrook, and it's our band. And so they have another band, Casablanca, they're from Belmont, you know. So our area has a better band than your area. We playing better music. We had a nicer tune. We have the nicer drums. So it would result in arguments then. When people get there arguing, oh yeah, no, Invader's better, man, no custom.
So your parents had said to you when you were little, don't go near the pans, but
yes.
Somehow they had a change of heart?
They relented. My parents eventually and grudgingly gave in. So when I started to play, I was about, 12 going on 13. Because as kids, you know, young boys, we got a pan and we started to, it was something I'd be trying, I wonder if you could tune this, you know? And I remember taking a stone, a big stone, and trying to alter the pitches.
Just by bashing it and seeing what happened?
Yeah. We said, let's hit it and see what will happen. Of course, we just made it worse. And then one afternoon, we were walking along Tragweed Road, which is where Invader's band was. So we kind of looked in, and then one of the people inside said, get away, you know? And then Ellie came and he said, no, let them come in. Ellie Manette was the leader of the band. He was the tuner of the band.
Was he the pioneer who'd first started really tuning the pans?
He was one of the first, right? So he had a certain status. So we went in very apprehensively, you know. He kind of settled us down. He said, come in. Come anytime you want. So with that invitation, we started to go there, and that's where I learned to play.
Very quickly started composing and arranging for steel band yourself.
And by 61, I was the arranger for Invaders.
And the arranger, are you involved then with teaching the piece?
I have to teach. I would go on each drum to the tenor pan. I would go on the tenor pan and teach somebody it by demonstration and playing it. That's how it was done.
I've seen what I think is a wonderful description of you as a tender soul directing hardback men. How did you get away with it?
Well, Ellie Manette was so happy to have me join the band because I was attending Queen's Royal College. It was one of the finest schools in Trinidad. So it was like a feather in his cap. I was like a little prince there to him. Then his brother, Vernon Manette, who was also a tuner, And his nickname was Birdie, because he was very short. He was slim and short, but he was feared. He was a feared man. And for some reason, he just took to me and was my protector. So nobody would mess with me in that band.
And did these clashes ever sort of happen during Carnival?
Oh, yes. I can remember when I was 15 years old, I was playing in Starlift, which was a band that was right at the corner here. But we're going up now, and we were heading towards the hospital, and there was a fight taking place in front of the hospital.
Between?
Between Desperados and a band called San Juan All Stars. 1 o'clock in the afternoon. I had never seen in my life, and never saw since, bottles like that.
Bottles?
Bottles. People were throwing bottles. The rival, the two grands fighting. So they're throwing bottles at each other. And you've seen people with cutlasses and knives, and it was a terrible fight. I know many people were injured, and Hat Belly Hospital was right there. So the casualty became full. That image I can never forget. All those bottles in glistening sunlight. That picture, if I tell a poet or a painter, it would be a beautiful picture to paint. But there were clashes before, and there's a calypso by the Calypsonian Lord Blakey. In the tune is Steel Band Clash.
It was a bacchanal.
Was a bacchanal.
1950 Carnival.
1950 Carnival. Fight for Soul with Invaders and Tokyo. And when the two bands clash, Mama Yo, if you seek at last, never me again.
Never me again.
They jump up in a steel band in Port of Spain. That song paints a perfect picture of what a clash was like.
So it's a good job you had Birdie doing, cutting
yeah,
your
Birdie,
hair.
Yeah, Birdie was Birdie was my protector, man.
Mr. Bill Sutman here. Queen.
I remember when I was in the second year I played band. Juve Morning was the time when every self-respecting pan player wanted to be playing a pan. People would fight for a pan. So we were going down Frederick Street, and one of the players in the band, his name was Urquhart. And he came from behind me and took my pan, lifted it off my head, took the pan and started to play it. So I walked through the band and I found Birdie. Birdie, he said, come. And I followed him. And we found Urquhart. And I didn't get close enough. I didn't hear the words. But I know Urquhart took the pan off his own neck and put it back on my neck. So I was so elated with Birdie restoring my pan to me now. You know? That was a slap in the face for Urquhart. But everything was fine after that. We were good friends, though, eh?
So, you're good friends now?
Yeah, yeah.
So this man is still alive?
Yeah, Kurt is still alive. He was living in the States, you know?
But somewhere out of this, around that time, Panorama started. Now, Panorama is the big steel band competition at Carnival.
And I arranged in the first Panorama. I was 19 at the time, I remember.
But then the other great innovation, your innovation, was that I think in 1972, you were the first person, the first composer arranger, to take a steel band to Panorama with an original arrangement, a composition. And this was a controversial thing, wasn't it?
Very, very. Well, you know,
because up until that point, the steel band pieces would be songs by popular Calypsonians.
Well, I said, if you went to a Calypso tent, you will never go to a tent and hear the same tune twice. Each Calypsonian had their own pieces. And I used to look at it and say, why we can't have that in the steel band? When you went to the steel band yard, you go from one year to the next, you might be hearing the same pieces. You go to Panorama at 1 year, and you finally had 7 out of 8 bands playing the same tune. I said, no, you know, we got to change this. The steel band got to have their own identity. We have to have our own music. So when you hear one band, you say, well, yes, that's X band. That's the tune they're playing. That's their tune.
So what was the piece?
And I call the piece Pan and the Move. This is like a double meaning now, because we're saying Pan and the Move in the sense that we're moving as we're playing, but now we're moving on now from being just imitators to creators. So the Pan would have composers now. Pan and the Move, it's moving now, moving from one plane to another. When it came out and it won the North Panorama, well, all hell broke loose. Everybody was complaining. The Calypsonians were complaining, and the other steel bands were complaining. See, there's an advantage now. They're playing their own. It's an advantage to the judges. So everybody just got really, really, really crazy.
But the next year, the piece that you wrote for Panorama was called Pan on the Run.
Yes, Pan on the Run was a follow-up from Pan on the Move.
Mm-hmm.
Panan, who played on the Sunday in the Panorama Finals. And you had Carnival Monday and our Carnival Tuesday. So we're heading towards last lap, meaning the last lap you're going to make around the streets before Carnival ends at midnight. I wrote that piece, Carnival Tuesday night. Because there was, well, I wouldn't say a clash, because I don't think we fought back. We all of us ran.
Invaders, there was another clash.
And yeah, invaders came, and, you know, they came from behind us on RP Tavern, and they turned with us. As we turned, they turned. And then they ran into the band with cutlasses and hammers and, you know, and sledgehammers, and they started to destroy the bands. So all of us ran, you know, because we didn't want to get hurt. We weren't prepared for that.
And that must have been particularly distressing for you in a way, because it was your old band, wasn't it?
It was my old band, and my former protector, Birdie, was the leader of the band. And I was shocked. So I got, I mean, out of my shock and disappointment, I got this tune right away. Pan on the Run. You know. It was Advantage. They went on the rampage. It was Pan on the Run, every man and woman. They say Pan on the Move. These Pan men didn't approve. Big fight, Carnival Tuesday night.
Was that it? Was it that they didn't approve of your original composition?
I think that had something to do with it. And after that, after a little coolness for about a year, we resumed where we left off, you know. It was fine. That was the only blemish. But Pan on the Run was a true story.
Trinidadian steel pan arranger Ray Holman. He was speaking to Nikki Paxman.